gentleman I'm going to bring out here was born in the state of Kentucky and presently resides in the state of Florida. It's Dr. Jim Harris. He taught one of the breakouts this morning here in this room, and I know a number of you were there. He is the founder of the Jim Harris Group. It's an international group of it's a speaking, consulting, and coaching firm working with leaders whose goal is to take those leaders to the highest level. Jim is married. He has a one child. He is a speaker, and he's an award-winning author, and he has worked with numerous world-class organizations. All the way from the state of Florida, would you please welcome to the platform Dr. Jim Harris.
Did you know that believers in business have a competitive advantage very few of us ever use? My new book, Our Unfair Advantage, Unleash the Power of the Holy Spirit in Your Business, will transform your business. But just don't take my word for it. Here's what others are saying. Show you what I've learned. How to move from being led by the what to being led by the who. How to overcome some of the obstacles you will face. Five keys to getting prepared and six essential elements to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit through you and throughout your business. So if you're ready, let's get started. You want to get started? The journey that brought me to this stage tonight began 22 and a half years ago. That's when I decided to leave corporate America, Fortune 500 company, Fortune 250 in size, actually. Anybody ever remember the Eckerd Drug Company from the Southeast? Okay, cool. I used to be a drug dealer. I'm reformed. But my wife, Brenda, and I give it up for Brenda right here, front row center. Give it up for my wife, Brenda. When we met at the headquarters of Eckerd, she didn't like me. I did a great sales job. After 5 years there of leading the executive management development and training for that organization, we were 1,700 locations, $5 billion in sales, 40,000 employees. I decided to step out and go on my own with no clients, no business plan, no idea, but I was going to do it on my own. So Brenda and I got married right after I left Eckerd. What a brave woman. What an absolute saint. And this is what we decided. We decided 18 months. She said, Jim, I'll give you 18 months, and if you can't make this new consulting thing work, you're going to get a real job. Well, it's been 22 and a half years, and every now and then she still reminds me, you got 18 months. But I also say this about her. Whenever I have a chance to speak at the Ritz-Carlton's, her schedule suddenly opens up. 5 years ago, after having a very good run in secular business speaking to IBMs and Best Buys and top State Farms, you just name it, all over the world, writing a couple of award-winning business books, the Lord, or possibly the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy, amen? I lost 70% of my business in 1 year. Would that wake you up if you lost 70% of your business in 1 year? So I started standing back and asking, okay, Lord, speak. 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 It took 2 or 3 years, and it started evolving And now I have switched from being a pure secular speaker, being on the same stage with Ken Blanchards and Malcolm Gladwells and those guys, to now focusing purely on Christian business. I still do secular speaking, but I don't market that. I only market now to two percenters, what I call two percenters. Two percenters are men and women who run for-profit, privately held, biblically based companies less than 500 employees. For-profit, privately held, biblically based, less than 500 employees. I don't go after the IBMs anymore or the big boys. I'm going after the smaller, fast growth, people that can get something done now instead of going through 16 committees. So I'm speaking to my group, two percenters. 14 months ago, I had a chance to speak at a regional meeting of marketplace chaplains. In that room, as I was speaking, a young man by the name of Bobby Mitchell happened to be there. And Bobby heard me speak to the executives of marketplace chaplains and some of the regional managers. That's the son of the founder, Mr. Mitchell. Bobby said, "You've got to meet Terrence. You got to call you. I got to put you two together." And I said, "Well, I know Terrence has been following my blog for years, and I've been waiting for the right opportunity just to chat with him." We got on the phone, and we became instant friends. And Terrence said, "I don't have a slot at Amelia Island. I was only 2 months away, but would you be here tonight? Thank you. For this is, Terrence, this is tonight. Besides being asked to speak on the platform and share the gospel in a church and preach, this is the greatest business speaking honor I've ever had, and I thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you." I want to start with this question because this is what the Lord asked me along this journey to answer, or at least to approach, or at least to challenge two percenters with. He said, "Jim, Christians in business, believers in business, are still being led by the wrong things." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." And so he said, "I want you to bring a message to challenge two percenters, believers in business, on what leads them and then give them where they should be led by." So here I want to ask you a few questions. Have any of you ever known anybody who was head led? Boy, that's a good idea. I like that. That's a great idea. Let's think this through. Let's do another analysis. Let's run some more numbers. Have you ever known anybody who was head led? Or have any of you been head led and you made your decisions by being head led and it just didn't work out? Like me? Like me? I'm raising my hand. Do you know anybody who's head led? Using this? How about being money led? Ooh, man, we can make a ton of money, and guess what we can do for ministry then? Let me say that one again. We can make a ton of money by doing this, and then we can do something good for the Lord. You hear people that are money-led saying, "How can we cut cost, cut cost, cut cost," all the time. Nothing wrong with cutting costs. I love positive cash flow, do you? Don't we all? But sometimes, can we be too money-led or too head-led? You with me? Now, don't look around and say, "You got to stop doing that," and point the person to the next to you. But sometimes we can be too money-led. Have you ever known anybody, good people, good Christian, that left a good-paying job to go across town for $2 more an hour? They loved what they were doing. They were doing well. It was a great organization, but they left because it was $2 more an hour, being money-led. How about, you know anybody that's ever been opportunity-led? Boy, this is a great opportunity. It's got to be from God. Look, it's an open door. We've never had this open door before. Look at this. We've been wanting this kind of opportunity for years. Can I remind you, like I've learned, I've chased some opportunities. Not all opportunities and open doors are from the Lord. May I say that again? Not all opportunities and something that really looks good is always from the Lord. Because what does the enemy disguise himself as? An angel of. And when that angel of appears, it looks so good because look at all the money and it makes sense. See where we're going with this? Head led, money led, opportunity led. Now, hey, I'm guilty on all three counts. I have repented over and over and over. But there's more. There's a few more just to be aware of. Have you known anybody who was expert led? Boy, that was a great idea we heard at that conference. We're going to do that. You know, the Ritz-Carlton uses lineups. I mentioned that in the Impactor breakout earlier today. And I could tell you all kinds of stories about how the lineups, pre-shift 10-minute meetings at every department, every worldwide location of the Ritz-Carlton, they have a 10-minute lineup and talk about one of their 12 values. I don't have my credo card with me. I forgot to bring that with me. But they have 12 core service values. And every day they speak about a different one at every department worldwide Ritz-Carlton. You could hear an idea like that at a conference and say, that's a great idea. That expert said we ought to do that. And go home and do it and fail miserably, even though it's a great idea. Yes, you need experts. Yes, you need advice. We all do. But I caution you, have you ever followed an expert's advice and didn't quite work out? Ever? Yeah? Can we be too expert-led? We can. Now, hold on. I'm going to come back to what you're learning at this conference because this is different. Have you known anybody that was pressure-led? Bob, you got to sign the paperwork, man. This deal's not going to be here forever. We're going to move. You know, this percentage rate is only going to be around today. It may go up tomorrow. Hey, that car's only going to be in the lot for just a little while. Oh, by the way, I've got four more people I'm showing this house to tomorrow. Ever known anybody who succumbed to being pressure-led? We don't want to be pressure-led, do we? Do we? No. And I could share a few more that I put in the book, but I just want to set the stage. Just want to set the stage. Here's the frightening reality for two percenters. Here's the frightening reality. If you allow yourself to be all these apparently good things, and I'm not saying don't think and don't look at opportunities and don't pursue things and don't work quickly if it's an opportunity and there's a time frame. I'm not saying don't do that, but if you are only and solely head-led, idea-led, opportunity-led, money-led, pressure-led, feelings-led, then you have no distinct competitive advantage against your non-believing secular counterparts. Did you hear that? Because that is where they live. That's how they make decisions. That's where they are. Look at your secular competitors that are not walking the talk that we do as a believer. How do they make their decisions? They're what? Head-led, idea-led, opportunity-led, money-led, etc., etc. But we don't want to be led that way. Can I get a witness? We don't want to be led that way. Can I get a witness? And why don't we want to be led that way? There's a better way to be led. And that's what I call making the big shift. Sometimes we have to make a big shift on how we go about looking at the decisions we make, about how we go about leading in our marketplaces, about how we work as leaders and managers, as employees. We need to make a big shift. But like I said in my little book trailer video, oh, by the way, secondary note. This is a very big night for me for another reason too. In 1 week, we will officially launch the book, Our Unfair Advantage. You cannot buy this in paperback today. It'll be officially launched internationally next Wednesday. This conference, and I have already, as Terrence knows, because he's on my blog, I've already announced this is the international launch tonight of the book, Our Unfair Advantage. So it's another platform for me that I'm just so pleased. You can purchase the book. We only have a few copies, but you've got the first edition of this book if you care for it. So it's another big night. I wanted to let you know that. Thank you. Now, back to the big shift. What is the foundation for the big shift? Let me share with you a few Bible verses. You just may want to write down the verses and go back and review these a little bit later. Maybe not the, all the words, but just the book and the number. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by what? The Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Led by what? Led by their heads? Led by opportunity? Led by money? Does that mean you don't think? Of course not. God gave you a great brain, a sound mind. But those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Romans 8:16. The Spirit of God does what? Bears witness with. Just would you mind just saying that out loud? Bears witness with. You have two spirits inside of you. Your dead spirit that is reborn in the Holy Spirit. They bear witness one to another. They are in there. You have spirit. And they bear, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Have you ever been in church and you heard the pastor say something really good? And you say, yeah, ooh, that's good, right? From in here, bears witness. God has revealed, Romans, or 1 Corinthians 2:8, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit for, get this, business leader, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Do you know you have living inside of you, as a believer, you have living inside of you the Spirit of God that will search the deep things and reveal to you the deep things God has planned for you? Sometimes I don't think we get that. Sometimes I think we kind of skirt over that. Sometimes in business, we get so busy and we're so detailed oriented. We're so pushing. We forget that down deep inside of us, we have the living Spirit of God available to us 24/7. And He will reveal to us the deep things of God. Beyond that, now that we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is God, He will give us things and give them to us freely. You don't have to pay the export. You've already got Him inside of you. The Holy Spirit knows everything about everything, past, present, and future. And He's living inside of you, Jim. He's living inside of you. You got Him right here. You see what I'm talking about, making the big shift kind of to here? Just as an encouragement, an exhortation, but that's not all. That's not all. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you in how much truth? All truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. And oh, we heard this earlier, tonight. And He will tell you what? Come on now, help. He will tell you what? Do you know what's going to happen in your business next month? I know somebody who does. Now, He may not download a balance sheet to you, Mike, but He knows what's coming up. He knows what you need to decide. He knows the opportunities that are right. He knows whether you should go to that military base or that military base. He knows. Anybody want to say He knows? And guess where He lives? We have, Wanda, an incredible unfair advantage, an absolutely overwhelming unfair advantage in the marketplace that I'm afraid, and I'll be the first to say, only in the last couple of years have I really understood, oh my goodness, I've had it here all along, and I have neglected it, I have abused it, I haven't gone there because I'm trying, I'm an entrepreneur, type A, let's get her done. And I have many, many times been far too head-led, money-led, opportunity-led. All those other things. But no more. I'm ready to make the big shift. And let me tell you something else. And I'm going to dig down to this. I'm going to share with you 5 of the 6 ways to unleash. Just simple ways that we can get better in touch with and make sure that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and not just our heads and our money and our flesh. All right? We're getting there. It seemed good, Acts 15. Does anybody know what happens in Acts 15? Anybody know what Acts 15 is all about? Anybody know? The Jerusalem Council. And that was the biggest, at least in Acts, one of the biggest conflicts. You had a room full of pastors. Some said, yes, circumcision. No, circumcision. Yes, no, yes, no. And when they left, all the pastors agreed. Now, that's a miracle. And how did they agree? It seemed good. Three times in Acts 15, it seemed good. What does that mean? That my Holy Spirit is the same as your Holy Spirit, Juliana. And my Holy Spirit connected with your Holy Spirit, and together it seemed good to everybody. Just reflect on that for just a second. I'm going to come back to that. That's the potential that we have living inside of us today. As this theme is building lives together, what I'm going to do, Eric, I'm going to exhort you and everyone else here to look at building your lives together in possibly a fresh, a different, a powerful way that maybe we hadn't thought about before. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit living in you and living in those other believers that are around you, in your FCCI groups, as well as your employees as well. And what I want to do, I want to give you a snapshot of just six simple ways that you can begin walking this and living the unfair advantage. Would you like to hear a few of these? Yeah. Ooh, I'm glad I got, Brenda said yes, so here we go. The first thing you've got to do is practice. Practice. All you got to do sometimes to begin is just practice. And what does that mean? I suggest you start small, start simple. Next time you go to a restaurant, when you look at the menu, instead of saying, ooh, this feels good, this sounds good, this looks good, say, Holy Spirit, what should I order? What do you think I should? You know what I like better than I do. You know, the Holy Spirit might know, even though, how many of you guys like steaks like me? 8 times out of 10, I'm getting steak. Okay, I got 2 or 3 real men. Most of the time I get steak, but I'm learning now. I'm learning. The Holy Spirit knows that they got a bad piece of meat back there. The guy's getting ready to put his hands on. Hey, right? Right? He might say, get the chicken. I don't want to get the chicken. Okay. Start small. Practice. I was driving to Atlanta not long ago, and just before coming from Pensacola, Florida, you come up through Montgomery and you get close to that nasty, awful 285 bypass. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I hate 285. But I knew I had like two exits before I got to the 285. I don't like to get off on 285. I just want to get to where I'm going. And maybe some of you are like me. Every now and then I need to stop and recycle some coffee. Amen. I got an amen on that one. All right. And I said, okay, I'm going to practice. I'm going to practice. I knew there was like two exits. Now, the Holy Spirit knows that when I travel, I like McDonald's. Why? I hate to admit this to a group of Christians, but McDonald's often, most of the new ones, have a door at the side where the manager can't see you up front. You can sneak in the bathroom and sneak back out. Most of the time I buy something, but this time I was in a hurry. I got to the first exit. I said, Holy Spirit. I didn't sense anything. Okay, I'm practicing. There's only one more exit before 285. Hope you're right. When I pull up to the next exit, guess what's on the right-hand side of the road? I don't like to go back under. I want to stay on the right side so I can get back on. Any guys like that? Don't want to waste a minute. And there happened to be a side door. I said, okay, I'm practicing. It could be very, very small, just practicing. So that, here's the point. What you want to do is learn for yourself what it's like to start making your decisions from here and being led by the Holy Spirit who's living inside you. One preacher calls, it seemed good, where's your seamer? This is where your seamer lives. So the first thing I suggest you do is practice. I'm going to tell a quick testimony of a man sitting in this room. He's an icon. He's an icon of FCCI. He heard me share a little bit about this at a program not long ago. On his way to work, in fact, he was one of the 8 gentlemen standing up here the other night. Remember the 8 gentlemen? He's one of those 8. He said, Jim, he emailed me. About 3 or 4 days later, I was driving to work. I had a really important issue. It was a personal, not even a business issue. I turned off the radio. I remember what you said. I turned off the radio. I said, Holy Spirit, what should I do about this? Boom! He called his executive assistant, another great believer. And what do you think about this? It was a great answer. He said, I never would have come up with that on my own. Praise God. Praise God. Practice. Practice. I have more in the book, but practice about how to do that. That's the first way you can just get to know him and how he speaks to you. Practice. Number two, seek a witness. I'm going to back off. That's the number three in the book. May I share another one? I was going to plan on sharing four. Do you mind if I share five of the six? Is that okay? Okay. The second one is, you know, I don't have a slide. The Spirit just said, say this. Okay. Number two, write this down. Check before you act. Check before you act. Here's what that means. You're practicing. You're learning how to better sense the Holy Spirit in you. I suggest you, this is what I've learned. This is what I just learned in my journey. I'm just sharing with you what I've learned. All right? This ain't everything. This is just what I've learned. Check before you act. Okay, you get a sense. Is that what you really want me to do, Spirit? You slow down. You block out everything. You just slow down, block out all the noise, and just take a second and say, okay, I believe that's what you want me to do, instead of just doing it, instead of just reacting. Let me give you a biblical example. I think it's the best biblical example I can think of the greatest leader of all time. And what I believe he was doing was checking before he acted. Jesus was preaching, big group. And there all those fine Pharisees ran in with an adulterous woman. Remember the story? And they had the adulterous woman in one arm and stones in the other. Remember that? Somebody was going to die that day. That woman, or Jesus, maybe both, interrupted a sermon, threw that young lady down, and said, what are you going to do, preacher? Should we kill her, or should we let her go? And you know, I'm not going to a theological analysis, but you know the situation. Do you kill her and live by the law, or give her grace in either way? And what did Jesus do? Remember what he did? He was writing something in the dirt. I don't have a clue. Now, Bruce Wilkinson does. You ask him, he knows everything. I only quote two people in my book, Our Unfair Advantage, outside the Bible, and Bruce Wilkinson is one. That's how much I admire this gentleman. But back to the story. Did you mind that shout out, Bruce? Did you mind that at all? Is that a...
I'll buy your book.
Ah! No, I'll give him one of my books. Amen. Back to this. Jesus was, hey, wait a minute. You got an angry group of Pharisees getting ready to throw stones at you. You call that pressure? I think that was pressure. I think that was real. Make a decision. A or, you know, kill her or let her go. A or B, A or B. That got them so mad, they raised it up. They came back to him a second time. What are you going to do, preacher? A or B, A or B. I think God was saying through the Holy Spirit, well, let's just see what happens. Let's play this out a minute. He stood up and said, Holy Spirit, see, and went right back down. I believe he was checking the Spirit. He was checking before he acted. I ask that you, as you practice, you check before you act. Just take a second, a day or a week. If it's not clear, don't do it. The third is seek a witness. Now, I want to camp on this for just a second. Remember what we read in Acts, in the book of Acts. It seemed good. It seemed good. That's the same Holy Spirit living in you, living in me. Oh, am I hearing it right? You've got the same Holy Spirit. Am I hearing this right? You're asking for confirmation that it's the Spirit and not something else. It's the same Spirit. Do you think the Holy Spirit will tell you to do one thing and you to do another on the same issue? No. He's going to tell you exactly the truth, exactly the right thing. Seek a witness. This is what I have learned with my wife. And Brennan and I do this now. And we're learning it, and we're learning it as we go. She is a very intelligent woman. She married me. But I no longer ask Brenda, what do you think about this, honey? How do you feel about this? What's your opinion on this, honey? Do you think this is a good idea? You know what I ask her? Have you got a witness on this? And so together, we're checking one another. I'm checking before I'm asking, and I'm seeking a witness. Am I hearing this clearly? Sometimes I think yes, she says no, and so I go back and I just wait, and I want to make sure I'm making the Holy Spirit-led decision, whatever it might be, in my business or in my personal life. Sometimes it's a yes, go do it. For me, Robert, it's kind of like this. In my spirit, I'm not saying this is you, but for me, if it's a no, I've got a real nervousness. It just doesn't sit well. If I don't get anything, I'm going, no. That's like a yellow light, you know, red light, yellow. But then sometimes it's a green light, and I'm going, and I'm going, and I'm going, and I do it fast. Do you know what the greatest team-building strategy you could ever employ at your company would be? With other believers working in with you and around you, if you as a leader started coaching and teaching and asking people on big decisions or small decisions in your business, hey, do you have a witness on what we're going to do? Do you have a witness on what we're going to do? If the Holy Spirit is alive in them and alive in you, and you agree on it, do you think that would raise commitment, motivation, potential for success? It's there. You've got it. Boom. That could be a wonderful, that is a huge, unfair competitive advantage we have. If you decide to say, I want to seek a witness with my other believers, and if when we come together in agreement, we know it's the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Seek a witness. Have any of you ignored the Holy Spirit when he prompts you to do something? If you don't raise your hand, you're a liar. Bible says, Paul says, quench not the Spirit. This is the fourth of the six. Quench not the Spirit. How do you quench the Holy Spirit? If he's prompting you to do something, Bruce is prompted to buy my book. You can ignore him. You can smother him. Don't do that. I'm going to give you my quench the Spirit story. About 3 years ago, Brenda's and my son was at a Christian boarding school, great school for boys in Missouri, southern Missouri. As we were leaving, it was the last day, we were saying goodbye to our son. A young man comes running out. This is for high school guys, high school boys, 17-year-old boy, tall as I am, taller. And he noticed the shirt I had on, a polo shirt. And the polo shirt had the University of Louisville Cardinals men's championship logo on it. I am a huge U of L Cardinals fan, grew up just south of Louisville. Don't look at me that way, Walt. I've got a Denny Crum signed basketball. If any of you follow basketball, two-time NCAA. I've got one in my office. I just love Cardinal basketball. It was 18 years between Never Nervous Purvis Ellison in 86 and our championship, okay? And Daryl Griffith and the Doctors of Dunk back in the 80s. Oh, man, here we go. I played basketball in Kentucky. It's true. I can't jump. It's true. But our team went to the state championship. So, I mean, I was on a team that was pretty good. So, basketball back. And so my brother and sister bought me that shirt. It was 2 weeks after the tournament. Man, I got my shirt, man. This is good. This young boy comes out. He's from Louisville. He's a bigger fan than me. That's a great shirt. We talked about it. And then I heard in a clear voice, not audibly, but right in here, I heard just like you were talking to me, give him your shirt. And just like you, the first thing I said was, get behind me, Satan. I did. And we went on and talked. The boy left. We hugged our son. And just before we got in the car, I heard again, in the spirit, give him your shirt. You've got lots of clean shirts in your trunk. So I did what every man would do. I jumped in the car and started driving. True. I've repented, but come on, this is true. 5 minutes in the car, I said, honey, this is what I did. She said, you need to stop the car and go give him your shirt. Go, Brenda. Who said that? So I did, guys, exactly what any of you would have done. I drove 1.5 days to Pensacola with that shirt. And knowing all the way, I disobeyed. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Amen. But that was a very valuable lesson. Got home, washed his shirt, shipped it to him, all that. I mean, my son said he never took it off. They couldn't even get it to wash at this school because he always wore it. But the Holy Spirit prompted me to do something, and I didn't. And oh, friends, let me tell you, what a lesson that was. We've heard about lessons like when Ben said, ask him about the donuts, right? And Skip, go to Uganda. And Robert, go to India. We've heard these, right? I admire you. You guys should be up here. I should be sitting listening to you because you obeyed the Holy Spirit. But that's exactly how he works. When he tells you to do something, Jesus said, if I am your Lord, if I am your Savior, if I am, why don't you do what I say? Amen? Quench not the Spirit. And finally, the last practice I want to suggest to you is pray bold prayers. This is not the time, sir, and you know this because I have learned so much from your writings. I'm just one of millions. If you looked at my prayer, Jabez, you couldn't tell where the regular typing was and all my highlights and underlines. It's time to stop praying wimpy prayers. It's time for us to stop praying wimpy prayers. Oh, Lord, help me make payroll. Now, I'm not saying you can pray that. I've done it. But I'm suggesting that's not how Jabez prayed. What did Jabez pray? Bless me indeed. Well, that was pretty bold, wasn't it? Bless me, enlarge my territory, protect me, don't let me do anything wrong to hurt anybody. Do you know what the Bible says happened? How did God respond? What did God do? What's the end of the story? He granted his request. Joshua, son, stand still. We got to fight, Lord. What did the Lord do? The first recorded prayer in the New Testament is after getting beaten, after being told by the Pharisees and the legalists, don't you preach this Jesus anymore. What did the disciples do? They went back and they prayed. And what did they pray? Give us boldness. Give us boldness. We are going to preach. We are going to preach. We are going to preach. I'm suggesting to you, if the Holy Spirit is in here and he's saying, pick it up, boys. Pick it up, girls. Let's pray some big prayers. We've got eternity we're heading toward. We've got God who owns everything that will give it to us. I believe we don't receive because we don't ask enough. I'll say that again. I believe we're not receiving because we don't ask enough. In righteousness, in God-fearing, I say, gentlemen, pray bold prayers. This man knows how to pray bold prayers. Have you listened to Terrence this week? This man knows how to pray bold prayers. Enlarge our territories. Expand us. Pray bold prayers. In the book, I suggest just simply doing this. Think about something in your business right now that you're praying for. And by no means, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying what you're praying is wrong. No. I'm encouraging you to take it to a higher level. I'm encouraging you to lift it up. I'm encouraging you, let's see how much God will give us, how much he will expand our territory, how much he can do and will do for us. Because we're doing it for him to hear well done. Let's see, pour it on, God, let's go. I'm just a Lipton flow through tea bag. Let's go. If you got something now you're praying, there's basically two levels I suggest just to practice. You have a safe level and a spirit level. Kick it up a notch. Go big. God wants us to reach the world. Let's go big. In your business, in your family, kick it up. Go big. Pray bold prayers. God honors bold prayers. I just encourage you to do that. Pray big. Now, as we look at some of these examples of how to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit in your business, things that probably many of us have never thought about, because I never thought about this 3 years ago. I was in the middle of writing the sequel to The Impactor, the story, the parable about how one man leads his business on biblical principles, not one Bible verse in it. It was meant to be a bridge book to give to anybody. In fact, I had one lady who bought it earlier today. Get this, she said, I'm going to give it to my Buddhist boss. Praise God. About how you walk it with integrity. I was in the middle of writing the follow-up book, and it wasn't going anywhere. Have you ever just had writer's block? It just wasn't going anywhere? I have. And the Lord said, I want you to write about this. I said, okay, I'll write about this. I had never written anything on the power of the Holy Spirit before. But I learned, don't quench your spirit. Amen? Don't quench your spirit. So once we start down this road, once we practice, and once we check the spirit, and we're learning how to seek a witness, and we're going to make mistakes, but it's going to get better. And as we keep seeking, and as we keep praying bold prayers, we got to keep it going. A couple things you might want to think about along the journey, but also along what we've done this week to keep what you've learned this week going. Number one, remember the benefits. One of the things I would challenge you to do is you just make a list for your life and for your business of the benefits of following the Holy Spirit. 10 minutes. I bet you come up with 25 things. Just remember the benefits of not being as head-led, money-led, idea-led, opportunity-led, everything else, being more spirit-led. That's all I'm suggesting. Let's just be more spirit-led. Remember the benefits. Number two, keep a record. I'm a big journal keeper. I love journals. I have a business journal for what I do in my business, just my record keeping. I have another journal for my sermons that I listen to. We listen to a lot of great preaching, my wife and I. So I have a separate journal for that. Then I have what I call a transformational, or actually a revelation journal. And when God, the Spirit, really reveals something big to me, that's special. I write it down. It may be a sentence, it may be a word, and I reveal, and I keep going back, and I just review my revelation journal. I just keep a record. I read that record almost every day, just so I just keep feeding. This is what the Lord's told me. This is what He's telling me. I just don't want to lose that. If it's important enough for Him to tell me something, I want to keep going back to it. So I encourage you, keep a record. However you want to do it. Digitally, on paper. I'm a paper guy. I keep it on paper. Next, you do this. And I want to commend you as FCCI members, those of you that are part of a business group. You do this. You stay coached up. Imagine the power of your FCCI groups and just applying some of these to what you're already doing so well. Just thinking about seeking a witness as you pray for that person on that next big business decision, whether to buy that company or to sell that company or to make that investment or to pull that, whatever it might be. Imagine the power you already have right now that I'm just encouraging you, use it, leverage it. The Holy Spirit is saying, ask me. I'm here 24/7. I'll be glad. I'll give it to you freely. I know everything about everything, past, present, and future. I'll help you decide the future of your business. Ask me. And you have a team right now that you can do that with, perhaps on even a higher level. So let me ask you, what leads you? Are you willing to make the big shift from being maybe a little bit too head-led and too idea-led and too money-led to being spirit-led? I'm often asked now, Jim, what's the secret? What can we do? In my book, in the last chapter, the last chapter is the shortest chapter of any book of the 14 I've ever written. It's the shortest chapter. The title of the chapter is much longer than what I put in the chapter. The title of the chapter is The Answer to 1,001 Things. That's the title of the last chapter. And you know what the answer to 1,001 things, 1,001 questions is from this day forward? The answer to 1,001 questions you have about your business, about whether you should hire that person or not hire that person, whether you should order that chicken or order the steak, to anything in life, is simply this. Be led. Be led. That's my exhortation to you tonight. It's a little bit different than what you may have expected. It's a little bit different than sometimes what we hear. But all I am doing, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is being faithful. When Terrence asked me 14 months ago to come and speak here tonight, I didn't have a clue as to what I was going to say. 6 months ago, it became clear, this is what I want you to say. This is what I want the message to be. And the message is simply this. May I pray with you and for you and over you and encourage you to never again take for granted that incredible, unfair, competitive advantage you have living inside you 24/7, not only for your business, but for your life. Would anybody here like to be a little bit more spirit-led than when you started 4 days ago at the conference? And I'm going to pray for you. May I pray for you? Lord God, the best that I could, as I'm learning this myself, I shared a message that I know was on my heart that you asked me to share about just encouraging your faithful, your believers, your children, to just not ignore you like sometimes I have, and I ask you to forgive me in the past. Lord, I pray from this day forward that maybe there was just a spark inside, just a spark, a little something inside that reinvigorated, that restated the obvious, but that would never, ever leave the men and women here, that they will move forward from this. We opened up with a song at the very first dinner we had on Sunday night. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And now we're ending with a message on Holy Spirit. I want to be more led. It is led by you. It was designed by you to be this way. And Lord, I pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit in, on, around, not only the men and women here, their families, their businesses, their employees, everyone they touch, and everywhere they see. And God, I pray that from this day forward, I pray not only for me, but for everyone here, that from now on, we will live in and be the unfair advantage you've put into us. God, may we do all things for your glory. In Jesus' name.